This session is from the 2021 Shepherd's 360 International Church Leaders Conference. For more information, visit shepherds360.org.
Elaine and I have known each other for a very long time. We're not even going to go into how many years that's been. We've worked together. Her husband and my husband worked together for a number of years. And so they have a special place in our hearts. And we've raised our kids together, basically. And she taught our youngest son, Nathan. If some of you might know Nathan, our youngest son is a piano professor at Southwestern Theological Seminary. And Elaine was his piano teacher. So we can blame her or credit her, or whichever. No, but he loves it, and she was a real blessing for our family. So she's going to come and share with us. So help me welcome Elaine Harbin.
I've got to say that Nathan is my claim to fame. He was a fantastic student and a blessing to really teach. I wanted to say, too, I have four grandchildren now. We didn't update the little bio, and I've got to tell you, because I'm a proud grandma, so I love all that. But first time I was here, and I want to give an update to those. I had a couple ask how I was doing. I am almost 5 years free of my breast cancer, so praise the Lord. Almost five, so I'll take it, and I can't wait to be off the meds. All right, so we are going to be talking about differing without dividing, living together when we disagree. How do we do that? And I'm telling you, I always like to look up, I'll give you another caveat. I am I was a teacher for many years, but I'm a substitute teacher. That passion just could not have been pushed out of me. So I substitute teach at four area Christian schools. So I'm always looking for some aspect of teaching and learning, because I love, it's like the preacher said last hour, you've got to always be learning as teachers, always. Don't be stagnant, push yourself. So at any rate, I gave you the definition, according to dictionary.com, of difference, because I thought, okay, I think we mostly understand it, but the first thing is the state of relation of being different. Okay? An instance or point of unlikeness or dissimilarity. A distinguishing character, or Oxford put it, not the same as another. Okay? We are vastly different, and God created us in that way. Let's pray and get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. God, you are so gracious to us. I pray that you will help us to live our lives that honor and glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I've got an example of difference. Some of my friends from Pennsylvania will totally understand this, okay? My husband and I, we moved to the Lancaster area. We had lived a little bit more towards Philly area and Lansdale. And about 8 years, we moved to Lancaster. What do you think when you think of Lancaster, PA, ladies?
Amish.
Amish, right, okay. So we wanted to try some restaurants that were local to that area, right? Okay, so we did. We went to this mom and pop place, and my husband had heard about chicken and waffles. And he just got a visual, I see somebody already laughing. how wonderful that would be. So he ordered it. It was on the front of the menu. It was a special. I thought, oh, this is going to be great. So here we're envisioning this wonderful, crunchy on the outside, soft in the inside, nice fried chicken on the top, right, ready to go. And the waitress came and handed my husband a plate. And he goes, no, I ordered chicken and waffles. And she said, yeah, this is it. It was on the plate, a waffle. You couldn't see the waffle, and this kind of gloppy gravy with kind of shredded chicken on. Now, talk about a difference. What you visualize, he thought he was getting one thing, and it was quite different. But that's what we're talking about, differences. And all of us have some of them, don't they? In the last couple years, A lot more have come up. The fact of the difference is this. We live in a broken world, and we do. You'll see there a quote by Thomas Jefferson. It says, "I never consider a difference of opinion in politics, in religion, in philosophy, as cause for withdrawing from a friend." But we have seen it, haven't we, in the last year? There are vast differences within families, within friends, of opinions of how we believe. There are some differences that matter maybe little in the big picture, like, and they may not be, they may be huge things to you, but what side is your toilet paper? Is it on top or is it on bottom? Okay. Or toothpaste, which end do you squeeze? We all have differences, and some of them aren't that big of a deal. Some are a big deal in, you know, different households, depending if you have males in them. Okay. But some differences are a little bit harder to navigate. And I think we're finding more of those now. I think of adult children and some of the choices that they've been raised in your home. But as they go out and start their own home, how they do things differently than you kind of would like, or maybe that you think should, because you would raise them in a different way. For instance, how they raise their children. Okay, for some of the older generation, that's something we look at. It's like, well, if they would have done it this way, they would have no problem. They could whip that child into, you know, submission. But, you know, something like that makes a huge difference, doesn't it? What about another thing is our children, maybe as they come to different ideals of what they want their life to be like. What are they seeking after? What church they go to? What level is it, the same or different than how you have? Differences can divide us. Okay, and we have found, especially, and I feel like I say that a lot, the last year and a half, boy, we're coming to a new normal. And that new normal is that for so many years, we have been so used to ever be, at least in church, kind of halfway agreeing, you know. We believe the same, but it kind of plays out differently. And young people are becoming more vocal. I have three boys. They come from two parents who are vocal and speaking the truth. And we've come to the conclusion, and it's the people come up with this, don't they? Now, I'm just speaking the truth. But they don't use Ephesians, where it says speaking truth in a loving way. And that's something we've tried to stress with our boys as adults. We can still have some of those debates, but being in a kind way, in a loving way, not to tear down our brother or sister. But we have come to that new normal. My mother, which will be 98 at the end of this year, or this year, this month, looks at this world, and her constant statement is, "Things are so different." She went through the end of the Depression, and so many things to her in so many venues are different. And we all look at them differently. In society at large, we have division. Remember the riots? Okay. Remember Fox versus CNN, any kind of media? I remember listening to Walter Cronkite and at least being able to get on media and knowing that it was truth. And I don't feel like there's a whole lot of that on our media, unfortunately. Okay, remember defund or worship the police. There was both ends of that, too. There were several things in society that were so different and so divided. Unfortunately, that has been mirrored in our local churches. It grieves my heart to see Christians very argumentative. Okay? It may be your political stance, Republican, Democrat, or their agendas. It could be vaccine, no vaccine. You wonder why some churches, the church that I'm a member at, there is a section still of masks up in that they stay there, and the rest of us don't. So there's choices there, but it is very divisive. Let's see. The newest one, and this is affecting our churches greatly, is people asking for the religious exemptions for the vaccine. And I really became more aware of this as my mom just went into Calvary Home's retirement facility. And some of the people didn't want to have vaccines, so they went to started this with the churches to where they could give you an exemption so that you do not have to wear that. So that is going to be a big thing. And the dilemma of the church, okay, what does the Bible say about this? What are we going to do about this? It's left kind of a very hard and harsh case for the church. The problem, well, let's look at that. We have to locate the problem because so many differences, which we've always, with saved, unsaved, there's a lot of differences anyway, but there are, I guess what you would say, more, we always want to blame it on someone else, don't we? Okay, I'm reacting this way because of her or him or what they said. I have to do this because, okay? So, locating the problem, let's look at ourselves. Why is it so important that I'm right? Sometimes we just have to prove that we're right. We may, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, we may have an agenda behind that. But that divisiveness comes from a lot of it from social media. Social media, and I love social media, okay? It has its benefits. But also, I find that, you know, once you have something in your phone or Facebook or whatever, your interests, they keep feeding a lot of that to you, okay? So sometimes you don't hear the other side. True? Okay? It's like my husband was, we have a joint account, so he was looking up several things. It was near my birthday that he was going to buy. Well, I said, oh, you've been looking at this? And he goes, how'd you know? Well, they feed to you the things that you're looking at or you're showing interest in. So that social media can be good and can be bad. Okay? We tend to always look outside of ourselves. But I think the most important is that we search our hearts first as Christians. The scripture describes the problem inside us. In James 4, 1 through 3, it says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at was within you? I've got to get it closer. I need new context. Thank you. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And I'll come back to verse 4 in just a little bit. But some of that is looking inside. What are my reasons why I get so upset and I have to win the argument of whatever it is at the time that's being divisive? Sometimes the real problem that's inside us are wrong desires. It may be lead to that arguing and quarreling that we just talked about. It may be a selfish interest that we have. But the big one is pride. Sometimes we so want to be right at any cost, we will do to win the battle, whatever we think it is. Why do we feel like other people have to agree with us? I feel affirmed if you recognize that I'm right, maybe. Maybe that's it, okay? You may find that in your identity. Your identity is always being right in that. Or my approval or acceptance are that important to me. Pride is a horrible thing that just creeps in everywhere, doesn't it? Yeah. The deepest problem of all may really be idolatry of the heart. And that's where the fourth verse of James 4 is. And it says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be afraid of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Okay, so watching our heart is going to be an important part as we talk with others. And I'm not, you can disagree agreeably. I am fully aware of that. And I think people need to be challenged at times. We need to do it as Christians in a loving way so that we are still showing forth our love and showing forth God's love through our lives. So, and talk about all those differences, let's look at finding a better way through the gospel to be able to disagree with these people, okay, whomever they may be. It may be family, it may be those around us, co-workers, that are bent on having their point across. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, this is NASB, it says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the high calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through it all and in it all." Oh, that preaches it, doesn't it? That should be our mantra, our daily looking at this, what we're faced. Timothy Keller quotes a great quote, "The gospel is this: we are more sinful and flawed than we ever dared believe, yet at the very same, more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope." Sink that in a couple times, okay? So let's look at looking through a better way through the gospel. First thing is to pursue humility in how I view myself and others. Okay, in thinking of yourself in light of the gospel, what we just read, being one called through humility and gentleness and patience and tolerance, think of yourself and what you say through that lens. Christians, we have to check ourselves constantly, what our motives are. Looking at the news, what we're faced every day, we have so much to look at and to view through the lens that we should. You just recognizing that we are not perfect. And as we talk to someone who is not perfect also, they may know the Lord, they may not know the Lord, but God created all of us, and we are all sinners. And we've got to view it that way. Once we become Christians, we have not arrived. We have to view it in a loving, kind way and understand they're a sinner too. My viewpoint may be slanted as well as theirs. depending on things in our own lives. To seek more to understand than to be understood. James 1:19-20 says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Another good one to keep posted everywhere you go, maybe even in your car. I kind of put verses all different places just to remind me, because I need that reminding. So I have a friend. She has a ministry to cancer patients and to those that are terminally ill. And I thought this is great advice in any kind of conversation that you have. This is great advice to understand another side that you have not fully heard. And her name is Nell Collins, but let me give you, it's a quote from her. "If I can't repeat back to the person what they just said so that they agree that I've got it, then I don't understand it yet." Be a better listener than a talker. Ask questions. I have found in many conversations when there's opposing views that we listen, we hear the words coming out of the mouth, but we really don't hear them. We don't. And we kind of like, oh, yeah, I know what they're going to say. You don't know what they're going to say. You don't know how they feel. You don't know what they went through. And vice versa. So we've got to stress, listen. Recently, I was subbing, actually last week, and I was in a particular school, and the kids were in there. They were working on a project, and they asked if I was going to be there the next day. And I said, no, I said, we're going to be leaving to go to North Carolina. They said, what are you doing in North Carolina? So I was telling them about the conference, and they said, what are you going to speak on, Mrs. Harbin? So I told them. And I got some very interesting. I said, well, give me some feedback. What do you think when someone is talking to you, and these were juniors and seniors, and they talk with you, but you feel like, you know, you're trying to get your point across. They said, Mrs. Harbin, no one listens to each other anymore. That's our young generation. That is, you know, the perception out there, whether, you know, people have tried that before, they have lost, and they don't feel secure in hearing that they're being heard, okay? So let's be careful with our speech, how we say it, but listen well, and truly listen. Get all of it. The next one is seek to be people of grace and, you see that in big letters? Grace and truth, not grace or truth. John 1:14. My page over there says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." You realize that a person, there are some people that believe in all grace and no truth. So what happens there? Well, nothing that is being said is correct, for one thing, but it's all grace and all these feelings and all this wonderful thing. And I'm a creative, and so I understand all that beautiful music and all. Wait a minute. We got to pull back a little bit. All grace is not all of the package, is it? Especially as Christians. And some people say all truth, okay? Like a big bullhorn straight at you. So much truth. But there's no grace. So when we as Christians fall, you know, it's more like, you know, well, we knew you were going to fall because you're a sinner. You know, it's like, whoa. God, oh boy, if God had treated us that way, we'd be in a bad situation, wouldn't we? But Jesus is 100% grace. At 100% truth. And I love that because I know he is going to be very patient with me and very kind with me. But at the same time, he is truth. Paul David Tripp, one of my favorite authors, says God reveals the depths of his truth to us, not just to change the way we think, but by grace to radically alter the way we live. And to me, it's, wow. I hope in my life that I can follow that. Recently, there was a man that came and spoke at Lancaster Bible College, where my husband is, and I listened to, and I, as far as I know, that should be still on their website. He had 2 days of messages. His name was Colin Atterbridge, fantastic preacher, young guy, and he preached on that sin of pride and how we treat others. It was very beneficial, so if you have time, anytime, or you're in the car for a long time going home, listen to it. It's great. But he finished his series with a prayer. And this prayer he read with the student body. And I'd like to pray it for with you. And if you would like to join me, please do. Heavenly Father, I agree that I have allowed an either-or world to blur my vision. I have avoided when I should have been engaged. I have enabled when I should have challenged. I have been condemning when I disagree with my words or simply in my heart. Empower me to live with grace and truth. Help me to choose the better way. My prayer for you is that you take this, and when you come into situations where you don't agree with someone, show them the grace of God, as only he can show us. A couple things. I have at the bottom of the sheet, reference to it, a book called, from Timothy Keller. It's actually Timothy Keller and John Inazu, Uncommon Ground. Great book. It is several authors for like several chapters, and they kind of take it from different perspectives, like from a theologian, from a musician, from a lot of different ways. And it is very interesting. And with that, ladies, you are dismissed.
Thanks for listening to this session from the 2021 Shepherds 360 International Church Leaders Conference. This material is copyrighted and may not be altered or sold. For information, visit shepherds360.org.